At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
So Bad Bunny is a Latin superstar, and he's been catching a lot of heat this week because he took a fan's phone and threw it over the ledge into the water. If you haven't seen this video yet, he's walking down a street with the best way I can describe it is his entourage. It's like all his buddies and like security guards and whatever.
Listen, you're a celebrity, you're rich, you've got people, and he's got all his people with him.
And this woman comes up, and she's an attractive woman. She's attractive. She's wearing a little dress, and she jumps in front of him to, like, I don't know if it was a live video or she was trying to take a selfie or what she was trying to do with him. And this is what it sounded like. That's her screaming, taking the selfie. And then this gasp. Bad Bunny rips the phone out of her hand and flings it over the side into the water. And this is everybody laughing, except for her, who looks shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, does he rip it out of her hand, or he just grabs it, snatches it rather quickly and tosses it?
He snatches it out of her hand.
Okay.
But he grabs it. Like, you could tell he's visibly annoyed.
Well, of course he's annoyed. Yeah. I mean, that's why he would throw the phone, right? I mean, if he grabs it and you know, drags it from her, then it's assault. But if not, you know, this is somebody that just violated his personal space and jumped in. It's one thing to walk up and say, hey, can I get a photo? Can I get a selfie? Can I take a video or something like that? I think most people, if they're available to, they're going to oblige you at the time. But, you know, if you look at this video, like, she's like right on top of him.
Yeah.
Jumps right up in his personal space. He doesn't know anything about her. If he lets her do that just because she's a girl in a little dress, you know, what's to say that she doesn't have something on her, or he doesn't want her in her space? Or what if his lady's walking right next to him? How does she feel, right? I mean, I don't know.
And he doubled down and he wrote on a tweet, the person who comes up to me, say hello, to tell me something or just to meet me will always receive my attention and respect. And then he said, but those who come and put a phone in my face, I'll consider it for what it is, a lack of respect, and I will treat it likewise.
Well, you know, I mean, again, it's kind of that thing of, you know, just because I'm making my money in the public view, does that mean that I'm an animal? Right? Does that mean that everybody can treat me however they want to? This is a big thing at like sporting events too, when like people think that they can scream whatever they want to at somebody that's, you know, playing in their city or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I don't feel bad for her.
I don't either. You know, everyone is making such a big deal out of it because they say it was so rude. I don't think it was rude. I think she was asking for it. I think she thought she was going to be this pretty girl going up to this big star, and she was going to be flirtatious, and, you know, he was going to kind of oblige and do whatever, and he didn't. And I'm sorry. It's a hard lesson to learn.
She thought she was going to get some sort of backstage access, some sort of hotel room invite or something like that, because I'm pretty and I've got this dress and I'm right in front of him and I'm with you. He's just like, nope, that's not what it's all about.
Right. I don't know. I think he was right. And I think it sends a good message that people are people. Leave them alone. If you want to just go say, hey, I'm a big fan, I love your music, that's one thing. Mm. It's another thing to rip out a phone and start screaming in front of his face.
Well, you know, I hope she's got insurance on that device.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
3 news stories, but you only get to hear about one, and Raven picks which one it is. You ready for your choices today, Raven?
Give it to me.
Number one, Virginia man arrested after unprovoked attack on Santa Claus inflatable.
Ho, ho, ho. What you doing, bro?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're really proud of that.
Thank you.
Did you just come up with that?
Yeah.
Or have you been thinking about it forever?
I mean, how would I be thinking about it forever if you're telling me now?
Okay. Number two.
Yeah, I was just waiting for a Santa Claus assault story. It was.
Number two. Woman jumps McDonald's counter and makes own burger in wild rampage.
I mean, these things never end well, all right? Can't we just leave people alone? I get it. Sometimes you're waiting a long time for that McDouble, but you've got to wait.
Number three. Dozens of Floridians trapped on 400-foot Ferris wheel after power goes out on New Year's Eve.
You know what? Let's go with that one, because I always tell people I will no longer ride Ferris wheels.
Okay. So if you're not familiar with the Ferris wheel at Icon Park in Orlando, it's massive, massive. And it's one of the ones that it's not like an old school Ferris wheel that you see at the local carnivals. You go in a pod and it's like climate controlled in the pod.
Yeah.
And this was the breaking news on New Year's Eve.
Breaking right now, rescue crews scaling the wheel at Orlando's Icon Park after a power outage left riders stranded. The Ferris wheel stands 400 feet off the ground.
I want you to imagine that it's New Year's Eve. You're having a lovely time in Orlando. You're going down this beautiful thing. This is how you're going to ring in the new year. And all of a sudden, you are 400 feet in the air, and it goes pitch black. It's nighttime. It goes pitch black. And you start seeing fire and flames shooting out of the electrical sockets.
Yeah, I would totally freak out. It's nothing that I ever want to be any part of. They've got one of these big ones in Vegas, too, and I'm not a fan. It's got a bar on it and all that stuff. Seems like it'd be a great party if I wasn't hanging onto the floor sweating the entire time.
I went to one in Myrtle Beach. I was on one, and it was pretty cool. But the first time I went with just my family, and they loved it. Second time, we had my nephew, my godson, and he's five. He freaked out.
It only takes one kid.
We had to push the emergency button to get us out. He went claustrophobic and freaked out. Now imagine being on that with your family and now you're trapped on New Year's Eve. That's exactly what happened. So luckily they're trained if this should ever happen what to do.
Yeah.
And they're able to manually bring down each pod and manually open each pod to safely get everybody out.
I mean, I'm still throwing up given the fact that the power's been out.
Right. You're in the dark. You got your cell phone light, but that's about it.
It's terrifying.
Right. So, and it takes about 15 minutes to open each pod. So if there's 30 pods, think about how long that's going to take.
Oh, man.
If you're the one at the top, that's got to go all the way around, right?
That's a lot.
They did get everybody out. 62 people they rescued from that.
I mean, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Did you ever get stuck on a ride?
I got stuck on a roller coaster at Six Flags in Massachusetts at one point. Years and years and years ago, they had this ride called the Black Widow, and it used to go upside down. And, you know, I remember we got stuck like halfway through the loop. So I wasn't upside down. Luckily, I had a seat. I felt very fortunate. It's terrible to say, but I kind of felt guilty while I was sitting there because there was people that were virtually upside down and maybe even one or two that were like laying straight back.
Oh my God.
But me, I had a comfortable seat. But still, you're still 200 feet up in the air and you're terrified.
I can't imagine being stuck upside down.
And then it rolled backwards and then it rolled forward and continued on. And this is one of those ones that it had to go to the end and then it would reverse and come back.
It makes me never want to get on a ride again. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you crazy right now? Get it off your chest by calling 1-800-330-9999. You just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Tina.
Okay, if you still have a Christmas tree up in your living room and it's bare, I mean not a single pine needle, nothing is on it, that's all I need to know about you.
Some people are really strict about the days, and it's the 6th, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's the 6th. Some people don't want to take it down till then. I'm one of those people, the day after Christmas, it's out. I got to move on with my life.
But might also be that they're planning on burning down the house.
Right.
And they need some sort of fire starter.
Insurance.
Right.
Collection.
It's right. Yep. I mean, Goodfellas, Sopranos. I've seen examples of this before. Christmas tree's a pretty good trigger.
My mom is one of these people, the Three Kings Day, where she doesn't take it down until that day. I think it's the 6th. I'm pretty sure. It's coming up tomorrow.
The fire marshal will be relieved. Rich, that's all I need to know about you. What do you got?
If you take the kids out in the winter without a coat or without shoes, that's all I need to know about you. You have no consideration for the health of your children.
I mean, you're taking it deep. I would just say that you're trashy. I mean, I see this all the time. What are you thinking?
Well, the little kids, definitely. The little kids, obviously, they don't know, so it's up to you. For some reason, why don't teenagers want to wear jackets?
Oh, they don't want to wear coats. No, and especially girls, too, because it's going to block the outfit and all that stuff.
No, it's not even that. They just don't wear it. It's like the boys, too. They just wear hoodies and shorts, no matter how cold it is. And, the women, too. I was just talking to my best friend about this, Danielle. Our girls don't wear jackets. I'm like, what are you doing? You own coats. What are you doing?
But if you have a four-year-old and you're at, the gas station or the mall,
right,
and it's January, your kid should have socks and shoes on.
Yes.
And a coat, at least in, at the ready, in the car, something, somewhere.
Unless it's very warm, then we'll give you a pass. Tom, that's all I need to know about you.
All I need to know about you is that if you let your girlfriend change all the passwords so that I can't log on to your streaming services, even though I've been your best friend since elementary school, that's all I need to know about you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Mm.
people get like territorial over their stuff sometimes. I'm with you, man. Like, if they don't need the extra log on, what's the difference? I keep reading about how Netflix is going to crack down. Like, how? Are they going to knock on people's doors? Like, what are they doing? I mean, you're allowed up to 3 logins at different locations. So if she's not on and he's not on and you're not on and somewhere else and like her mom needs to get on, what's the difference?
I mean, do people still do this a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Do people they?
My kid's grandmother, his biological grandmother, is on our Netflix account. The woman's been gone for a year. Her login information is still on there. I should clean that up, actually.
Yeah, right.
Feels wrong.
A little morbid.
Every time I see it. But it's true.
Everybody likes to make predictions about the new year, but what do the stars say are going to happen in 2023? Astrologer Ann, you can find her online at astrologerann.com. Ann, what do you think? What's going to be happening? What do the stars say we should be expecting?
We've got a little bit of a slow start in January. We still have some retrograde planets, but I'm telling you, this is the year of action starting January 23rd through April 20th. We're going to have 3 solid months, no retrograde planets, with a ton of other stuff saying, let's get going. Stop talking about it. Let's do it. So this is a year of action and finally getting off the dime.
Hold on. What was the dates on that?
Right. Because Anna loves to sign contracts when there's nothing in retrograde.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, I got to sell my house. I got to buy a house. Tell me exactly when again.
January 23rd.
Okay.
Through April 20th.
I mean, that feels like a pretty big window, Anne. Is that normal? Like, do we typically have times during the year, every year, where we've got, you know, kind of nothing in our way?
We do get a chunk, but this is a particularly big chunk. That's a really good question. And so, yes, this is a great, amazing opportunity. Astrologers always watch for that all systems go period. This is extraordinary, and this is fabulous.
So in a situation like this, like if you got a new job offer or something presented itself that you wouldn't normally do, that's the time period to say yes and just dive in.
Yes, and there's a lot of other stuff supporting that all through the first half of this year, and then we're going to have some other stuff in the second half of the year coming in to support it. It has to do with the sign Aries, first sign of the zodiac. It's a fire sign. It thinks it's in charge, and it often is. It's what they call a cardinal sign. It's a leadership sign. It is all over the stars this year. Aries is like, let's get going. Pick up the sword. Fight the battles. Let's start that business or relationship or whatever. If you've wanted to do something, this year has that energy. We're going to get 2 new moons in Aries. It's extraordinary. It's like a big billboard saying, if you didn't get the message, I'm going to give you more of it.
I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I'm booking my trip to Vegas right now.
Here we go.
This sounds great.
So all systems are pointing to like things are going to be great for 2023. Is there anything that we need to look on the horizon later in the year?
Yes, there's going to be even more Aries energy coming, and these eclipses that we get a few times a year, they're going to start happening in Aries and Libra, so it's also going to affect this same stuff. It's going to be less about talking about things and processing stuff and more, come on, let's do it. The biggest reason for this is the planet Mars that goes with Aries, it rules that sign, we say, has been stuck in slow motion in Gemini. It's going to be 7 months altogether sitting there. Usually spends 2 months someplace. 7 months it's been stuck there in Gemini, a sign that's all about talking and communication. Finally, it's going to stop that. It's going to leave in March, which means the whole rest of the year, it's going to be in other signs that are more about taking action. One other thing, Jupiter, the big planet of gifts, luck, great stuff, it's going to move into Taurus. So this is about money. So if you want to turn your dreams into a way to make some extra cash, that's going to be starting the second half of this year.
Wait a minute. So then I'm going to Vegas, and then I'm going to Macau. Woo!
Because you're
going to
win big, baby.
I got to say, usually it's like about things you're not supposed to do during certain times of year. To hear all this positivity is pretty awesome.
I'm pumped.
Woohoo!
So if you want to check out Astrologer Ann for yourself and get your specialized readings, anything you need, you can head to her website, astrologerann.com. Thank you so much, Ann.
Oh, you're so welcome. And happy birthday, Raven, if you haven't had it yet.
I got big planet energy over here.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo! I'm glad I sent you some fire.
This is like the universal New Year's Eve song, right?
I mean, in 1927.
1947.
Is that when that came out?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds that old.
Producer John, you know a lot about music, so you know that that is the quintessential New Year's Eve song.
I mean, it's the only New Year's Eve song.
That's
there,
not
are there
true.
Really much. Like, is there any others?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. So that was actually written, you've heard a million more modern versions, but that was from 1947. By Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians.
Good old Guy. Thanks for showing up, Guy.
This guy.
I Googled it, too, because, you know, I'm sure everybody wonders, what does auld lang syne mean?
Yeah.
It's from a Scottish poem, and it means old long since, like times go by. So that makes sense, right?
Thank you, Canadians, for bringing us that Scottish information.
Right, via Scotland.
In 1947.
But Producer John, as a musician, you know that there's a lot of different New Year's Day songs, New Year's songs. So everybody hears this one, too, on New Year's Day. Nothing
changes on New Year's
Day. I don't think
that that's like an uplifting thing.
That's what I'm saying. It's about some weird, like, it's about not weird, but like horrible, like war or something
conflict.
Right?
You too. Thanks, Bono, for ruining New Year's Day by making it all sad and serious.
Dang your messages.
New Year's Day and my iPhone.
Yep. But then
it's an old reference.
Still on mine. I can't get rid of my iTunes music
three
either.
Three phones later.
Yeah. No, all right. Me too. But then there's like a newer New Year's Day version, the Taylor Swift one, which me and my 13-year-old daughter love. I want
your midnights, but I'll be cleaning up bottles with you. These are all... I'm sorry, man. These are all lame.
But isn't that all...
Let me be the one that rains on your parade. Those are all... lame.
Well, maybe you'll like this one more, Raven.
Please.
Because this also plays in my house, not with my 13-year-old, but with my 4-year-old, the Baby Shark New Year's version.
Okay, let me hear it. Bye-bye to this year. Hello, hello, New Year. Honestly, I'll take that one over the other ones.
If you let that anywhere near my kid and he starts wanting to hear it all the time, me and you are going to be in a fight.
Put us back up louder, though, just so you can hear where it goes. Why do they always have to go back to the Baby Shark that gets stuck in my head for days and days?
Because Baby Shark is the star.
That's the closer. That's the big,
the star.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They open with that. They close with that. They play it a couple times in the middle. That's all they got.
That's MJ. That's right. Nobody cares about the rest of the Jacksons. Bring me out Michael.
So we put Producer John in charge of writing a New Year's song that would be uplifting and motivational for 2023. And Producer John, I'm going to be honest. When I started listening to this, I was like, yes! Heck yes! And then I was like, oh... All right.
Good.
Got to have some realism.
Great review.
Here we go.
Celebration time. It's a brand new year. Trouble's at an end. It's a brand new year. Set my goals and resolutions without fear.
Woo!
I'm feeling motivated. It's a brand new year.
Yeah.
I'll gather up my friends and we'll head out the door. We'll take some fireball shots and pass out on the bathroom floor.
Nice.
No.
Hung over the entire first week of this year.
It's a true story.
No.
Rethinking my life choices in this brand new year.
Oh,
every single day.
Hangover anxiety has given me the fear.
That real fear.
Gonna try dryuary in this brand new year.
I mean, it wasn't the direction I thought we were going. It was so optimistic and beautiful at the beginning.
It's nice that you're on that soapbox and pedestal. Can't wait to see you Saturday night on the floor.
Right.
Again.
Right. No, it's dryuary. You heard him, dryuary.
Only counts Monday through Friday.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Today, all about CES. That's what's trending. It's the International CES Show, a.k.a. Consumer Electronics Show. Officially kicks off in Vegas. It goes through the weekend. It's all the wacky new technology inventions that are in the works and now available.
Wacky is the word that we use when something's new.
Yeah. It's new.
Yes.
Some of it is wacky. And I'm going to tell you the one thing I saw that I was like, no, that's wacky. But I'm going to wait on that for the end.
The big reveal. Go.
All right. So there's been previews all week of things that you can see at CES. And here are a few of the reviews of the things being shown.
The latest biosensor or smart health technology is a sensor right inside your toilet. This circular design helps it get a read on all sorts of components of your urine, from estrogen levels to vitamin C to pH, to understand if you might need to change something about your diet, hydration, or even something like to track your menstrual cycle.
Here we are.
I'm 100% into it.
I mean...
100%. I was like, that's like, think about it. Like, whenever you have to go for those tests, how uncomfortable. What if your toilet just tells you what's wrong with you every day?
So on that regard, it's pretty great. On the other hand, it's a little bit invasive, right? So let's say that this information is going to be uploaded to somewhere. Now you're going to be contacted by people about your estrogen levels and all that type of stuff every other day. Did you ever see the movie The Island?
No.
You should check it out. Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson.
Nobody's watching that movie, Raven.
Oh, it's a super sexy movie about clones. You'll
also
love it.
Your toilet can now tell you that you're dehydrated every single day.
Yeah. Well, it does that in that movie.
Mm-hmm. This company pumps smells directly into your nose, whether through an add-on to a VR headset or now through their own proprietary wearable. To try this out, when I picked a virtual rose, smelled the floral on one end and then flipped it around to smell the dirt on the other.
They're basically making it like you don't even have to leave your house anymore to go on adventures.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, I tried the Oculus. So if you haven't tried this Oculus thing yet, it's like this virtual headset, but it's kind of like video games. And I'm not a video game person, but on New Year's, we were with our friends and they got it for Christmas, the kids. So we were in there. All of a sudden, I was battling things. Mm-hmm. I was in a boxing ring. I was like,
you loved
it. Oh, it was so cool. Now, imagine if you could smell the things too, which is exactly what this company is doing. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Imagine if something like that could reunite you with people that are no longer here, allow you to play with your pets when your knees don't work anymore, run around with your grandkids. And that is the beginning of the end of people ever leaving their homes.
Yeah. One more. This one, like, if I could get this next year for Christmas, put it on my list, okay?
You might have a doorbell camera for your front door when package delivery people arrive, but do you have one on your birdhouse? This little camera right here captures when a new bird arrives to get a snack. The pictures nearly made me lose my mind. You can see the big bird eyes and the fluffy bodies and the skinny little legs.
It's picture, like, you know how you get the updates from, like, your Ring camera of, like, the people at your front door? But you get to see the birdies up close coming to eat at the birdhouse. It's so cute.
Yeah, I like that much better than some strange alien analyzing my urine every day.
But the one thing that I saw that I was like, I don't know about this. It's a $3,300 self-driving stroller. It's a stroller that drives itself. Now, it says you're not supposed to put the kid in there. It's like if your kid wants to be carried and then you can just program it and it knows
to follow
when to
you.
Stop. Like, yeah.
That's cool.
Is it, though? Because you know somebody's going to be like, just push my kid around. And that can't end well. It can't. Isn't the end of the engagement ring? So 66% of millennials and Gen Z couples say that they're cool with saying goodbye to diamond engagement rings and going for an alternative when proposing.
Mm.
It's really interesting to think about it because at first I was like, what are you talking about? No, you have to like propose with a diamond. Then I was like, I hadn't worn my engagement ring in years. Like we were just talking about it. I just took it out of my dresser like a couple of weeks ago, and I started wearing it on my right hand because I only wear my wedding band on my left hand.
It's an amazing mark of advertising and just, you know, the way that we've been marketed to all these years is that, you know, you are taught to believe basically that you need a diamond to, you know, get engaged, to ask somebody to marry you.
Right. So 15% say that they would get tattoo rings instead.
Wow.
Then the most popular alternatives were metals, emeralds, and sapphires. And speaking of sapphires, producer John, you were saying that when you proposed to your now ex-wife that you almost bought a sapphire.
Yeah, no, I had the stone picked out and everything. Like, I was going for it. This thing was huge because you think about it, like a diamond is so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And even one that you spend thousands and thousands of dollars on is still going to be tiny. The sapphire was big.
Yeah.
Man, this was like a statement. And then all the women in my family talked me out of it.
It's interesting because now I wonder, how many years ago was this?
This would have been six or seven years ago.
So what was the big driving factor, though, of being talked out of it?
It wouldn't match. She would have to match it every single time she went out. She would have to match the blue.
I mean,
a diamond is clear. You don't have to match. It matches everything.
Some people are wild about that type of stuff. You know, like, you know, the curtain's got to match the carpet and the drapes and all that nonsense and blah, 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 blah. But me, I'm not so much. I mean,
I
if it's
know.
A big, beautiful, pretty ring.
Here's the thing. I know nothing about anything that
so
has
listened.
To do with any of that. So if I bought it and then it was the bad decision, that would have not been cool.
I
would have done the same thing. I get what you're saying.
You know, right.
I get what you're saying.
Princess Diana, I feel like because her engagement ring, which is so famous, is a sapphire. I kind of understand why people would use that as an alternative. It's so beautiful. Like, I would love a sapphire ring like that.
But I mean, keep in mind that, people were making those rings hundreds of years before Princess Di put it on. It's just the person that put it on, and you went, oh, that's so beautiful when she wore it. That's all. On the other hand, you know, she could, you know, match any outfit any day and had a room full of jewels.
I don't know if I believe in the matching the outfit, but I do think that it's like a twist from tradition. And you're right, Raven. Like, when you said, we've reached a point where the marketing was so good on diamonds that you assume you can't propose without one.
Right.
And now that we're moving away from that, because at first when I read this, I was like, what are you talking about? You have to get engaged with a diamond ring. And then I started thinking about it. I go, no, you don't. Like, there's a million other reasons to spend all that money. I mean, I know how much my husband spent on this ring. And it was at this point 20 years ago, which is insane for me to even say out loud. It seems like a million years ago.
Right.
And it was so much money. And the reason why we even waited an extra year to get engaged is because he had to make the money to be able to buy the ring that I wanted, which is so insane to me at this point in our life.
Imagine you could have been in love before that. But no,
I mean,
you had to wait.
Right.
Well, if you say so.
Meanwhile, this
De
ring.
De Beers says no.
This ring that's on my finger has been sitting in a drawer for 2 years. Like, I just finally took it out. It may be the end of the engagement ring with a diamond. 66% of millennials and Gen Z couples say they are cool with not having a diamond in their engagement ring. If you didn't get a diamond, what was your alternative engagement? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
Well, I've been married twice. And my first wedding, we actually went with a moissanite ring in a like a rose gold band. It's a beautiful peach stone, much more affordable, and it was gorgeous. I was able to get a much bigger size than I would have been a diamond.
Wait, what is a moissanite?
That's a beautiful option.
Yeah, I think my girlfriend just got one of these too when she got engaged. It looks just like a diamond, right?
Yes, so they have the moissanites and the morganites, and some of them are clear like a diamond, and some of them are the peach color.
Yeah.
So I went with the peach. But with my other wedding, we actually went with a white sapphire, which is also an option that's much more affordable than a diamond.
Oh, that sounds nice. And it sounds pretty.
Right.
The morganites and the morphinites or whatever it is that you were saying before sounds like people that live like in my garden in the back. They're miniature and they ride on ants as they battle each other for control of the area of the tomatoes.
Yep.
But they also do pink stones, I guess, in this case. But...
Yeah, it's the lab-grown diamonds. Like,
So well, that's so much better anyways.
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing now. It is. Like, that's what
You're
I'm
free.
Upset about is that I feel like the diamond industry, they duped us, you know? Like, it's not a good industry.
Yeah, it's all marketing, like you said.
Josh, what's your alternative to an engagement ring? What'd you guys use?
Yeah, so my wife and I are musicians, actually. So we used guitar strings in replace of an engagement ring.
Doesn't it hurt to tie a guitar string around
I would think
finger?
I'd be pulling on the little hairs on my hand.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a cute idea. Gina, what was your alternative to an engagement ring?
Well, my husband and I ended up having an opportunity to buy a house when we were engaged. So instead of spending money, you know, on a big engagement ring, we just put all of that money on the down payment for our house. And then when we got married, we got these really beautiful silver wedding bands. So now we have the house and the wedding bands.
I mean, I wish I had done that. I decided to buy a house, renovate a house, get married, pay for the honeymoon, all that at one time. Yeah, that would have been one thing off that list. That's a pretty good idea.
They always say, like, you're better off buying a home and use instead of having a giant wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because I had the giant wedding, and I'm pretty happy about the giant wedding.
Right.
But I can see how financially it would have probably put us in a much better position if we didn't do it that way.
You did hate your house.
I hated the condo we lived in for a long time. I really did.
Right.
Yeah. But I really loved my wedding. And I bought other houses. I'm not getting married again.
Leo, what'd you guys do instead of an engagement ring?
Right. So my fiance was never really into diamonds, thankfully, because they're unethically sourced. And so we both really love dogs. We wanted to get a dog. So we got a dog and we named the dog Diamond. So I thought that was a pretty good gift.
That's nice.
I do like the idea of rescuing a dog.
And that's your
commitment to your relationship. I just hope that one person is responsible for the dog, so God forbid something happens, you know, who gets the dog at the end.
Well, we know that judges will tell you that the dog is just property. It's going to have to go with somebody. You can't cut them in half.
Allie, what was your alternative to an engagement ring?
So I'm not really into jewelry. So instead of him getting me jewelry, we actually went to Greece for our engagement.
Did he propose while you were in Greece, or did he propose with nothing and then said, but we're going to Greece? How did it work?
Yeah, he proposed with nothing and said, we're going to Greece. Like, that is the engagement.
Right.
Right. yes, you know.
Hey, I would be a little bit confused. Like, they get, you know, it gets down on one knee and then he doesn't have anything in his hand. You better have a passport or something like that.
Something like that. Airline ticket, boarding pass.
Yeah.
Just flip your phone over and be like, see?
It's awesome. If you love to travel, I can understand why you would want to do something like that instead. So what would you do in this situation? We have a girls' night out planned. It's going to be six of us. It's fun, like our New Year's getting together, right? And one of the women who's in my friend's group texted and she said on like the chat, she goes, okay, but I'm doing dryuary, so I'm not drinking, ladies.
So it's one of those things, right? Well, I mean, the dryuary is
a thing. Everybody's doing dryuary. Like, all right. So I didn't think anything of it. And I was like, you know, I wrote something stupid, like, you know, like, bummer. Oh, well, you know. But then I get a sidebar. So if you've never been part of a sidebar conversation, it's when people on the chain go to like a separate one where it's just to you.
You start another chain.
Right. So I get a sidebar from one of my other girlfriends and she goes, wait a minute. Does that mean that we're not supposed to drink because she's not drinking?
Yeah.
And I go, oh.
Well, it's interesting that the sidebar is about that. What your behavior will be instead of is, did she just kill our girls' night, right? By being the person who's, you know, kind of the lump on the log or whatever.
I mean, I don't care. I want to see my girlfriends. I want to have a good time. Sure. It doesn't, to me, I don't care. You want to drink, you want to drink.
It's
you don't
your
want
choices.
To drink.
Right.
But if your friends are doing dryuary, mm-hmm. right, and you're not, and you're going out with them, are you still going to like party 2-3 Cabernets in or are you going to hold it back? Because I have like this rule where if I go out with people that don't drink, I only have one drink. That's like a big rule of mine. It's like if you don't drink for whatever reason, I only have one drink. And truthfully, I have two friends that don't drink at all. And 99% of the time when I'm with them, I don't drink, period.
Yeah, but I mean, so it all depends on what's their reasoning for not drinking, though, right? So if somebody's saying, like, I'm taking this month off because it's a healthy choice just for, you know, weight or, you know, just to kind of reset myself for this year or whatever, that's one thing. If somebody says to you, I'm not drinking because I have a reason that I need not to, well, you would take that into different account, I would think, right? Like if somebody says, I've got an issue with drinking, I need to put it down for a while or forever or whatever, obviously, then that's a whole different thing, right? If they've got a health issue where they're like, well, you know, I just can't do it right now or whatever, I'm on meds, that would be one thing too. If they're just like, I'm taking it off because I want to save a couple bucks this week and I'm thinking about losing 10 pounds, it's different. To me, it is anyways. I mean, not to you?
No. I think about each of my friends, and actually there's three. One had a problem, no longer drinks. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Sober for many years.
Sure.
One, religious reasons, she doesn't drink for religious reasons.
Okay.
And who was my third?
Well, the religious one, I'll tell you right now, I'll drink around the religious one.
I don't drink around her.
I don't. I mean, I'm glad that you're higher power.
Oh, and Lisa. And Lisa just doesn't drink because she just thinks that it makes people dumb and she doesn't drink. Like, there's no real reason for it.
Well, that's why I drink.
I don't know. Five Call says it all. If your friends are doing dryuary and you're going out with them, do you still drink? That's going on with me and my friends right now. A bunch of them are doing dryuary. We're going out for a girls' night. Are we all supposed to just skip the cocktails? 1-800-330-9999. Five Call says it all. Do you drink?
Absolutely. You do you and let them do them.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we're all adults here, right? I mean, especially like, listen, if you know that, you know, a couple of your friends are teetering on the edge and they don't have, you know, good self-control or whatever, then maybe you should reevaluate that friendship anyways. But I mean, other than that, you know, we're all stable people here. You make a choice. I make a choice. We're good.
Yeah. I mean, I date someone that's sober and every once in a while when we go out to dinner, I'll have something to drink and that's my prerogative and you do you.
And Raven, Five Calls says it all. What do you think? Are you drinking if one of your friends is observing dryuary?
Absolutely. So that's the woman's personal preference not to drink, so why should you not have a drink?
All right.
I mean, I think, yeah, right, you're safe.
I like your response, Raven. You drink to be silly.
That's right. I mean, what else is the point?
Hi, Tiana and Raven. Five Calls says it all. What do you think? Do you drink even if your friends aren't drinking?
Absolutely, yeah. I do. If I want one, that is. You know, if I'm not in the mood to drink that night, I won't. But I'm trying these days to not be like influenced by who I'm with, you know, but totally respect their choices.
I love it. You sit down together. You don't know they're doing dryuary until they go to order. Can I get you guys something to drink? No, I'm not drinking this month. Oh, well, in that case, I'll have two.
Yeah.
You pick up the slack for your friend.
It's like when Danielle, my best friend, like we go somewhere. Every once in a while, she'll be like, do you want to share a salad and a salmon? I'm like, no, I don't want. And then every once in a while, she's like, oh, I'm not drinking. And then I get so mad at her, too, because I feel like, I don't know, like a degenerate, because why am I going to be the only one drinking? It puts a lot of pressure on you, I guess.
Why won't you share the salad?
Then let's, because I want a steak or a burger or fries or something delicious, and I don't want to eat the salmon in the salad. Eric, Five Call says it all. Do you drink if your friends are doing dryuary?
Yeah, I'm going to drink. I respect what they're doing, but if we're going out, I'm going to have a drink, but I'm not going to rub it in their face. I respect what they're doing, but I want to have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody feels the same way. It's like, listen, all the power to you. That's great, but I'm going to salute you. And I'm going to do that by going, salute, and holding up a drink, too. And you know what? Saluting people gets so much easier the more drinks you have.
Tori, Five Call says it all. Are you going to have a cocktail if your friends aren't drinking?
I mean, if they're not drinking, like, I probably won't have a cocktail with them. But I might have gotten to the restaurant a little bit earlier and had a drink at the bar all by myself.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to order an extra appetizer. Because I would have been like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, I feel like if you're not drinking, you have an appetizer and dessert, right?
You displace it with other calories?
Yes.
Listen, if you came there with five or six of them, it's one thing, right? And if none of them are drinking, that's one thing. Until you run into somebody else that is.
Hi, Tiana and Raven. Five Call says it all. What do you think? Do you drink even if your friends aren't drinking?
Well, I am actually the one that doesn't drink, so I thought I'd give my opinion on the other side.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I've been sober for over 20 years, and I believe that is my concern to worry about. I would never, ever expect somebody else to not drink because of me. It is respectful if it's one-on-one, but I do believe that it's my choice. And if it was something that I would prefer not to be around, it would be my choice not to go.
Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense, too. One-on-one is completely different than a group, right?
Yeah, so whenever I'm one-on-one, it's I never would.
Think I would either.
Anybody that known me for a long time would have a glass of wine or one drink, just being respectful for me. I just feel like it's something that I need to manage. I wouldn't expect people around me to have to accommodate that.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up to you to decide who's right. Parker and Marie. Marie, what's going on?
So I am, like, really, really upset. My husband purchased this quote-unquote gift for the family, and it is not an appropriate gift. Basically, he has brought up this vacation that he wants to take, an adventure vacation to Costa Rica. For years he's brought this up. And I've been telling him it's not the appropriate time because we have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, and they're just not old enough for this type of vacation. I mean, it's like zip lining and, like, you know, it's like extreme adventure type stuff, which ordinarily I would like to do, but not when I have to chaperone two toddlers. So basically it feels like it's a gift for himself, and I'll just go with him and I'll have to stand on the side watching the kids while he's doing all this fun stuff. And it's just such a selfish gift, in my opinion. I want to cancel it.
Parker, what's your side of this?
Well, I mean, you know, it's going to be an educational trip. There's, like, monkeys there, and it's, like, the rainforest. And, you know, there's just a wealth of knowledge to be gained by going on a trip like this for the kids.
Did you book this trip knowing that your wife was going to be upset?
No, I generally thought that she would be thrilled. Who would not be excited about a trip to Costa Rica?
You know, this is a trip that I think everybody gets an email from about a Costa Rican trip all the time, right?
No, I think it's just you, Raven.
I do like 3 times a week from different travel agencies, and I think it must be the boxes that I've checked before. I've gone to all the islands. I've gone to all the other places. I have not done this trip. I want to do this trip. Don't know if I want to do it with a 2-year-old attached to me. Definitely has monkeys. There's a rainforest. There'll be some of those, you know, ecological things that he's talking about. On the other hand, that's kind of a big undertaking if you got 2 small kids to take care of. I think maybe you bought this trip, Parker, and thought you could convince her when you got there and go, look, monkeys.
Right.
Everybody's happy now.
Well, you know, I thought it would be a great thing for us to do as a family. And, you know, I'm just trying here.
So, can you cancel the trip if you wanted to?
Well, I'd have to look into that. I mean, it'd be embarrassing to cancel a trip like this. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
All right, well, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you. Marie, maybe you're just being much. Like, take the kids, go see the world. If they can't do the zip lining and the jungle treks or whatever it is, then fine. You figure it out and you do things that they can do, too. There's certainly a beach and there's certainly going to be a pool and all that kind of stuff. But they may see Marie's side, too. You booked a trip knowing she didn't want to go with the young kids. She didn't say ever. She said now. You did it anyway because you wanted to go, and that's not cool.
Yeah, it's not Disney. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Well, he found out how to get what he wants. Parker and Marie. For Christmas, Parker got Marie and the family. It was a family gift, he said it was. A trip to Costa Rica, which sounds awesome. The problem is their kids are 3 and 6 years old. He's been talking about this adventure vacation with the zip lines and the ATVs and all that for years. And Marie keeps saying, the kids are too little. We have to wait till they're older. It won't be any fun for me if we go there with the kids. But he got it for Christmas anyway.
Well, Parker says, listen, there's going to be monkeys, a beach, and rainforests. It's going to be educational and fun. And people do this every single day. What are we so afraid of? Let's go and enjoy ourselves. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a fun trip. On the other hand, I don't have to carry the kids to the airport.
Yeah, and Marie says, no, you're going to cancel this trip. This wasn't fair what you did. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Daisy.
So I'm actually on the wife side, only because this similar happened to me this Christmas. I'm a retired hairdresser, and I'm in the education field, and my husband bought me clippers because he didn't want to get his hair cut anymore. So I just looked at him, and I ended up getting a different gift, but I kind of feel the same way she feels. More of a thing for him than the family.
Yeah.
And the idea of facing monkeys, they can go to the zoo.
I get it. So Costa Rica is the lingerie of vacation purchases.
Like, what kind of nonsense is that? Like, you buy clippers for you to do his hair. Get out of here with that. Get out of here. You're right. I would be mad, too.
Thanks, Daisy.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court. What would you do if your husband got you a vacation for Christmas, but it really was a vacation for himself? It's exactly what's going on with Marie and Parker. Marie's all upset. Parker's been talking about this Costa Rica adventure trip, zip lining, ATVs, and Marie says, yeah, great. Except our kids are 3 and 6 years old, and it's not going to be any fun for me, so I don't want to go. So that's what he got her for Christmas. Surprise!
Oh, come on. Parker says what? Have they never heard of babysitting in Costa Rica? I'm sure that there's plenty of people that put their kids right on their hip and go off and had fun. I've been waiting all this time for this trip. This is going to be fun for everybody. Look! They've got monkeys in a forest.
What do you think? Should they cancel the trip? That's what Marie wants to do. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Hi, my name is Rosie, and I'm on the wife's side. I think it was very selfish. I mean, you want to go do educational, see monkeys or the ocean, go to a zoo locally, go to the beach locally. Those children are too young. I don't know how much he thinks they're going to retain. Do when they're older and they can really more, you know, participate as a family activity. Hmm. So I definitely think it's not, it wasn't right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, this is Gail. I am definitely on the wife's side. Switch those tickets to something age appropriate like Disney World and take them to the zoo to see the monkeys.
You know, I will just say this, is seeing animals in a zoo is completely different than seeing them in their more natural habitat, you know? And when I watch these shows on, like, Nat Geo or whatever, or the Irwins, or, you know, Croc Territory or whatever, I think to myself, what an adventure these families are having when they're filming this stuff. I mean, it's the stuff we watch on TV.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, my life dream is to go on an African safari, but I also have had the conversation many times where I want all the kids to be old enough that when we go, they're going to remember because that's a once-in-a-lifetime trip. Costa Rica and the monkeys, I don't think, is the same level as that.
Right,
you know?
Right. I mean, Dakota, at that point, will be too large for the hyenas to take.
Right.
So where's the consideration in that?
Yeah.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Marie, our audience agreed with you. Parker, it's selfish. You took a gift that was supposed to be for the family, and you made it all about you. You knew that Marie wasn't going to be happy with this, and she already said that it wasn't a good time for you guys to go. So cancel a trip and work somewhere together that you can go that everyone agrees on.
Vegas!
Yeah.
Yeah, that may have to be, I guess, the trip. I hope I can get a refund. I'm really disappointed that we're not going to be able to enjoy this as a family.
Well, Marie, it's going to keep you and the kids out of harm's way. It also makes you the official crusher of dreams. How do you feel about this? You're excited about the verdict?
I think that we can go on a lovely family vacation where it makes sense to have two children with us.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many options.
Legoland, here you come, bro.
Oh, there's a lot of great resorts that are family friendly.
Have fun, Parker.
If you have a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,700. Diana, you ready to play today?
Hi, yup.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Diana.
Okay. So Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to do this?
I'm ready.
Number one, the stars of the 1968 movie Romeo and Juliet are suing Paramount for $500 million over allegedly exploiting them in a scene that was filmed when they were underage. Who wrote Romeo and Juliet?
I'm not sure.
Number two, Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle are going on their third headlining tour together. Chris Rock was famously slapped at the Oscars by what actor?
Will Smith.
Number three, a new Elvis Presley project is dropping on HBO next week, and the Elvis film is also returning to theaters in time for his birthday. What was Elvis dubbed the king of?
Rock and roll.
Number four, a rumor says that the second season of Wednesday might be on a totally different streaming platform than the one it originally aired on. On what streaming service can you currently watch Wednesday?
Netflix.
And number five, Leslie Grace released unseen photos from her Batgirl movie that was canceled abruptly last year. What is Batgirl's name? That's time right there, Diana. Let me bring Raven back in.
Ew.
3 out of 5 for Diana.
Not terrible. $1,700. Let's see how I do.
Number one, the stars of the 1968 movie Romeo and Juliet are suing Paramount for $500 million over allegedly exploiting them in a scene that was filmed when they were underage.
Wow.
They're like in their 70s now. It's interesting. Mm. Who wrote Romeo and Juliet?
Shakespeare.
That's the only author question that I thought you would get, and I could not believe Diana didn't get that one.
Stephen King. My second.
Number two, Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle are going on their third headlining tour together. Chris Rock was famously slapped at the Oscars by what actor?
Will Smith.
Yes. Number three, it's going to be interesting when the Oscars come around, like what they're going to say about it. Is it going to come up again?
I think that they're going to act like it didn't happen, but they're going to talk all about respect.
Number three, a new Elvis Presley project is dropping on HBO next week, and the Elvis film is returning to theaters for a free screening for Elvis's birthday. What was Elvis dubbed the king of?
He's the king of rock and roll.
Correct. You guys are tied. Number four, a rumor says that the second season of Wednesday might be on a totally different streaming platform than the one it was originally on.
Mm.
What streaming service can you currently watch Wednesday?
It's on Netflix.
That's right. That would be weird, huh?
Well, I mean, if they're willing to pay the bucks, right?
Number five, Leslie Grace released unseen photos from her Batgirl movie that was abruptly canceled last year. What is Batgirl's name?
Oh. Well, this is a question. Oh, that's tricky, huh? I don't remember.
It's Barbara Gordon.
Ah.
I'm sorry, Diana. He beat you 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt. Tomorrow's jackpot, $1,800. And remember, if you have an idea for a question, help me out. You can send it at annonraven.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.